How do I know? He came through for me. What do you mean by nice? Very well done. They're one up on you. Well, many of you know the etymology of the word nice, the original intent of the word nice. What if I say, nice shirt, nice guy, nice meal, nice car, nice day? What does the word mean today? It is so vague, it has no meaning. It is an imprecise word, but originally the word meant ignorant. Nice shirt. Nice day. Nice car. Nice guy. Kind of makes you want to excise that word from your vocabulary, doesn't it? You see, the point is this. I am not a nice guy because Christians are not to be nice people. Christians are never to be ignorant of what is going on around them. And Jesus was never a nice guy. When the woman caught in the act of adultery was dragged before him, did he sit her down and say, you know, I understood you've probably had an abusive childhood, therefore you have a very low self-image. If we could just work on your self-esteem, perhaps you wouldn't act out this way. Is that what he said to her?
No.
What did he say?
No.
Go and sin no more. Was that nice?
No.
No. Was it truthful?
Yes.
Was it loving?
Yes.
Yes. When he confronted the Pharisees and called them whitewashed tombs, was that nice? No. Was it truthful?
Yes.
Was it loving?
Yes,
because he loved God more than the praises of men. Christians are never to be nice people. We are never to be ignorant of what's going on around us, and we are never to be so pleasant that we fail to confront people with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not a nice guy. Well, let's
okay,
go on.
Good.
And let's see
I'm
if I can find a fast forward
again,
button
the question.
Here. Yeah, here we go. We'll just fast forward past this next one. This was a tarot card reader. She was a very nice person. Well, she was. She put her faith in something that was untrue. She was a pleasant enough person, but she was deceived. The one I want to show you is the one with the Freedom of Religion Foundation. They had a big water jug in which you dropped a coin in, and if it floated down and hit a little statue which they called Jesus on the head, they would give you a free bumper sticker that says, Jesus doesn't love you. People, one simple question, okay? And whichever one of you wants to answer it can, okay? The question is, what happens when you die?
You rot just like any other. You rot like any other animal.
Okay, what if you're wrong about what you believe?
I'm not wrong what I believe.
Well, how do you know that to be true?
Because I'm intelligent.
Excuse me. You're saying that you know that you rot when you die? How do you know that to be true? You're saying you're intelligent, okay? I don't doubt that. But you're finite. You haven't lived forever, right?
I haven't lived forever, no.
Okay, and you haven't been everywhere in the universe, right?
I've been on Earth. That's about all.
Okay. So how do you know for certain that you're correct in what you're saying that happens when you die?
Because I'm a person who knows how to think, and I'm not persuaded by a book that was written thousands of years ago.
Why would we be any different than any other living organism? Everything that dies rots.
Oh, I got one of those.
And then that's it. You're just the physical body?
I have no problem with that. I'm not afraid of that. I'd rather that than some pie-in-the-sky fantasy and illusion or the horror that somebody knows that I had a terrible thought and therefore I'll rot forever after or burn in hell.
Okay, what happens if you're wrong?
What happens if I'm wrong? What happens if you're wrong? How can I answer a silly question like that?
Notice the technique. Notice that these are not Christian questions. These are not napalm bomb questions that will clear the field. Because these questions can be turned on you. What are you going to say when somebody says, how do you know that what you believe is true? How do you know the Bible's true? How do you know that Jesus is who he claimed to be? Well, most of us would start stacking up evidence. A buddy of mine was speaking at a college on creation evolution. He was a former evolutionist, and he had attended that college, and a professor came up to him afterwards and says, "Prove to me the Bible's true." And so my friend started with prophecy, archaeology. He started with everything, just started stacking it up. About 20 minutes afterwards, he said, "Now, does that convince you, Prof?" And the professor said, "No." My friend said, in shock, "Well, is there anything I could say that would convince you? Is there any evidence I could give you?" And the man said, "No." To which my friend said, "Why didn't you tell me that before I started so that I wouldn't have wasted my time?" You see, the point is this. We tend to want to take our big black attack Bibles and go up and go, "Hi, whoa," and watch their head explode. Do not do that. Here's a way to respond when somebody turns the question on you. What's the best defense? Good offense. Here's what you say. What would you accept as evidence? Now, if they're serious, will you find that out? If they're playing games, will you find that out? So let's find out what happened. I didn't think of that at this time, so we went back and forth. It was, "Well, I ask you first." "No, I ask you." "No, I ask you first." It was real clever. Well, the question is, what if you're wrong?
Well, but what if you're wrong? What's the answer?
That's a nice try, but I ask you first.
No, I don't think that works. You don't know whether you're wrong. I don't know. What happens if you're wrong? What happens if I'm
wrong? So, wait a minute. You said you don't know if you're wrong, and I don't know if I'm wrong.
No, I said you can't. You're saying I can't prove that I'm right.
No, I just ask, what happens if you're wrong?
You're suggesting I should live my life based.
Whoa! Whoa! What's going on here? What's going on? What assumption has she made? That's right. She said, "You are suggesting that I should live my life by..." Have I suggested anything? All I've done is what? Ask questions. What am I doing? You know, we get all concerned about all of the arguments that are on the 15th story, the speck on the 15th story window. The atheists have built this big edifice. The evolutionists have built a big edifice. And we say we got to destroy these speculations. So let's get in the wrecking cranes. Back it up over here, Joe. Let's start swinging the crane. Back and forth, back and forth. We hit it. It doesn't budge. You know what? You don't need wrecking cranes. Jesus said, the foolish man builds his house on what? Sand. How many of you have been to the ocean? Stood in the ocean, right on the beach, especially when you were kids, with your brothers and sisters, and let the waves lap at your feet, right? And the game is to see who is left standing. Because what happens when the water hits the sand under your feet? It takes it away, right? So you don't need wrecking cranes. You know what you need? Squirt guns. You just take it up to the foundation because it's built on what? Sand. And you walk up and you go, "Do it, do it, do it, do it." Everybody try that with me. Do it, do it, do it, do it. You know what the squirt gun is? The four questions. Let's find out what happens.
But what is your possibility?
Wait. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just asking a question. What happens if you're wrong? Answer the question.
Like I said, what happens if you're
wrong?
What?
We're not wrong.
How do you know?
Because I know I'm wrong. Because I'm intelligent. Where your mind is 5,000 years ago. You're still living in the dark ages.
But wait, I'm just asking a question. You are making accusations. I'm just asking you a question. How do you know that what you believe is true?
Because they're no different than any other living organism on Earth. When something dies, they rot, they become an organic matter, and that's all.
So therefore, why are you out trying to convince people that they're wrong?
We're not trying to convince you. We're trying to stop you from pushing your beliefs on everybody else.
Really?
That's right.
How are you trying to stop us from pushing our beliefs on everybody else?
By lawsuits, by legislation, anything that comes about.
What question should you ask now? what difference does it make? Because he's already told me that all that happens is when you die, you rot. So who cares what you believe? But it's interesting because you said that all that happens is that when you die, you rot.
Exactly.
So what difference does it make what a person believes in this life?
We're talking about legislation about forcing women to go through birth if they don't want it, forcing public school children to pray in school, to force your beliefs on all Americans just because of what you believe.
Well, aren't there other people who are out there trying to force their beliefs on other Americans?
Yes, there are, and the people are trying to stop them also.
So why aren't you trying to stop all those people?
We only stop the ones that are a threat to our society as Americans.
Did you just hear what he said? Did you just hear what he called you? A threat to society. That is the greatest compliment a Christian could ever be paid. We are here to raise up a generation who are a threat to the world system, who trust God, believe His Word, and will act on what they know to be true. That is the greatest compliment you could be paid, to be a threat to the world system. All we do is just die and we rot. How can anything be a threat to society?
First of all, you keep changing the subject. You go from political matters to science matters and religious matters.
Actually, you're the one changing the subject, because I asked you what happens when you die, and then you said you want to stop people from forcing their beliefs on everybody else. That's your purpose of your booth or your organization. All I'm asking is, what if you're wrong about what you believe and you die?
Well, I'm not wrong what I believe when you die. When you die, you rot and become organic matter. Period.
Yeah, that's right.
But how do you know that?
How do I know that? Because of my intelligence, I know that. And if I don't have all day to discuss...
So you know everything?
No, no one knows everything.
So there's a possibility that you could be wrong?
When it comes to religious matters, I'm correct. And I've been correct in my preteens, and I'm correct now.
Okay, thanks. What verse comes to mind? I was correct in my preteens, and I'm correct now. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. The temptation is to laugh and mock because he is intelligent. Man's name is Steve Sand. He is a friend of mine. Please do not laugh. I'm serious. Because I don't want to see him rot in hell. Every chance I get, I invite him to go with me. Every chance I get, I confront him with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is easy for us to sit in our padded pews and mock the opposition. I have him come and speak at the leadership conference I do in Denver. He speaks on why I am an atheist. Why? Because if students want to know what an atheist believes, they better hear it from an atheist, not from a Christian. And I invite him because they have been trained in how to ask these four questions, and they have been trained in how to share their faith with people like Steve Sand, and I want him to hear the gospel as many times as possible, because I do not want to see my friend Steve Sand die and go to hell. This is not an intellectual exercise. This is a matter of life and death. You all know who this is? Gandhi. Story is told that Gandhi read through the Bible and he was very curious about Christianity, so he went to a church, and when he got there, he was not like the other people there. Didn't dress like they did, didn't have the same color skin, and so when he walked in the door, they politely and I'm sure very tactfully, suggested that it would be better for him to go someplace where people were more like him. And Gandhi walked out of the church doors, and he never entered another church because he rejected Christianity. Yet later on, Gandhi said, "You Christians have in your keeping a document with enough dynamite in it to blow the whole of civilization to bits, to turn society upside down, to bring peace to a war-torn world. But you read it as if it were just good literature and nothing more." Is that the way we Christians look at this book? Hi, my name's Bill, and I am not a nice guy.
What do you mean by that?
Very good. We do not... Okay. You will shortly. You see, the point is that we as Christians have the truth. And the truth will blow civilization to bits. We have the head knowledge. We have a fuse. Blasting cap has been set. How many of you want me to light this puppy? You know what? I can't do it. We can give you this weekend, we can give you in the Worldview Academy week information. We can pack you with apologetics. That does not mean going around saying, "Excuse me, pardon me, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian." We can give you the defense of your faith. We can give you the information you need. We can encourage you. We can set the blasting cap. We can time the fuse. But we cannot light it, because only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. Our goal is to educate, equip, and encourage you. But I want you to remember Steve Sand's face. I want you to remember the face of someone near and dear to you who is bound for hell. And I want you to take what you're learning this weekend and go back and confront them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in love. I don't want you to be a nice person. I want you to be truthful, and I want you to be loving. In fact, I never assume that everybody who attends has trusted Jesus Christ, so I have to ask you a question. If you were to die right now, would you know for certain that you would go to heaven when you died? And if you didn't, and I could tell you in less than 2 minutes that you could know for certain, would that be good news? May I tell you? I'll take that as a yes. Let's say that this hand represents you and me and everybody in the world. And let's say my watch represents sin. You all know what sin is? It's what offends God. Have you ever done any bad things? Thought any bad thoughts? Yeah, if you really knew me, you probably wouldn't want to hang around me. I've done some bad things and thought worse. The problem is, the Bible says our sin condemns us to hell. That's the bad news. Now, I know a lot of people who go to church on Sunday. They go out and feed the homeless, wear the sacred tie, save the whales. Does that take away their sin? No. As a friend of mine says, it's kind of like white frosting on a burnt cake. It just covers it up. You see, sin cannot be erased by good deeds. Our sin condemns us to hell. That's the bad news. The good news is this hand represents Jesus Christ, who was and is God. And He came to earth in the form of a man, and He lived a perfect life. And He took all sin on Himself. Now, if He took all sin on Himself, what is there left for which we must pay? Nothing. And He paid the penalty for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He died a horrible, undeserved death on a cross, a tortuous death. He got rid of that sin. He proved He was God by resurrecting. And He said that anybody who puts their trust in Him, He will give them what? Eternal life. And how long is eternal? Forever. Is that cool? Does that make sense? Everybody close your eyes, please. If that is the first time that made sense to you, and you would trust Christ to the best of your ability to give you eternal life and to take you to heaven when you die, I just want you to lift your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. If that's the first time that made sense, I just want you to raise your hand. Okay, everybody look at me. For Christians, by the way, how long did that take? A minute, 37 seconds. Huh? Cool. See the point? You can give the gospel away in less than 2 minutes. A clear gospel. You see, we need to learn how to think well, but we also need to learn how to act on what we know to be true for the sake of Jesus.